Blog Talk Radio.
Where God lives. He resides in our worship. He resides in our praise to Him. He resides in us. So have your way, Jesus.
Have your way.
every need, your every desire, but you gotta let him have his way. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Welcome to another Kingdom Builders International Internet Radio broadcast. Glory to God. And tonight is the second Tuesday of the month where Apostle Martin Marcus come on. Glory be to God. Apostle, are you on the line? Praise the Lord. Apostle, are you on the line? Glory to God. Prophetess Teresa, are you on the line? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Apostle Martin, are you on the line?
Here.
Praise
Glory
God.
To God. Hello?
Praise God, evangelist. I think the lines are muted out. I have just unmuted the line.
I'm here now.
Okay, glory to God, glory to God. Prophet Teresa, at this time, I'm going to yield the line to you.
Woman of God, he's on the line.
Okay. Apostle Martin, at this time, I'm going to yield the line to you.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, praise God, Apostle. We just want to cover you with a word of prayer.
Sure.
We thank you for just coming on, being faithful to the assignment that God has given in this season, and we just want to send blessings of love and much love to you and your family. We just want to cover you with a word of prayer before you go forth. Father, we just thank you for your vessel of honor, Father. We just glorify you, Lord God. We thank you that you have kept him, Father, in all of his ways, Lord. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that covered him and his family. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given him the desires of his heart, Lord God, because he has delighted himself in you, Father. We just ask you right now, as he opened his mouth, Father, that he is a vessel of honor, that he is, Lord God, the man, Lord God, that you have set forth for this season, Father. We just ask you right now, Lord God, that you would use him like never before. And those that are on the line, Father God, that they would open up their hearts, their minds, their souls, and their spirit, Lord God, and that they would receive, Father, what you have given the man of God to come forth with in this very hour. Father, we just glorify you. We magnify you. We adore you, Lord God, and we want more of your word. So, Father, we just ask you as he go forth that you would keep your angels of protection around him, Father, and around everything that concerns him. In the mighty master's name of Jesus, we thank you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name we say amen, amen. And now, man of God, we yield the line to you.
Amen. Praise God. God is an awesome God. I really do give God the honor and the praise for what he's doing and what he's about to do. The Lord has been dropping in my spirit the assignment today to talk about obedience, to talk about one of the most important things that he has made clear throughout the scripture is to obey. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Amen. God is awesome. Amen. Let me say a quick prayer also. Amen. For you guys, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just have your complete and total way. Father, that you would move by your spirit, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, that you would dissect your word, Father, that you would release your word in a manner where your people, oh God, will receive it, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus and live thereby. And we'll be careful to give you praise, honor, and glory, God. I pray that even the sinner, oh God, even the unlearned would be able to understand what it is being relayed today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And amen. Amen. God is awesome. Today we're going to be coming from 1 Samuel. The 15th chapter, and we're going to start at the first verse. I'll give you just a moment to get that. Amen. God is awesome. Amen. It reads, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go up and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them to Telem, to 200 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. Amen. I'm going to stop right there, but I'll continue after we kind of dissect the beginning of this. It reads that Samuel also, Samuel was the one who would ordain Saul to do what it is that God has called him to do, ordained him king. The Lord said, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. And I found it interesting that he said, hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Most would think that his words is his voice. But here he said, hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. See, you can hear something that a person is saying, but really not understand their voice, really don't understand who they are and where they're speaking from. If I said to you, be thou healed, amen, that's awesome. But when God says to you, be thou healed, it has to happen. So he was trying to get him to understand, hearken unto the voice of the word of the Lord. When God tells you to do something, you have to obey. It is just that simple. It is not me speaking to you. It is not a prophet speaking to you. It is not a person speaking to you. But when the Lord speaks to you, it is a totally different monster. It is a horse of another color when the Lord speaks to you. When the Lord speaks to you, he commands obedience. And then it says here, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Now he said destroy everything. He said man and woman, boy and girl. And I want you to understand something, that in obedience to God, it will always be a difficult thing. See, we don't serve a God that is normal. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the Master. The Bible says that his ways, the Bible says that as far as the heaven is from the earth, so far are God's ways different than ours. So we cannot expect to understand everything that God tells us to do. Somebody's trying to dissect and intellectually understand what God is telling them to do, but it is not that way. You cannot always understand what it is that God is telling you to do, but he expects you to just obey. The fourth verse says, and Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And I want you to understand something, that God has a specific timing for you to do what it is that he told you to do. When God speaks a word to you, his word for you is not to immediately. Look at David. David was ordained king years before he ever took the throne. There are things that God will tell you to do, but you have to wait on the timing of God to do it. He has a specific and a perfect timing, and there is nothing like God's timing. I preached a few episodes ago about the timing, about the sons of Issachar, how important it was that they understood timing. Timing is so important. It's just like when I was growing up, I would watch my sister's Double Dutch. It is just like that. If you don't jump in at the right timing, you can get hit by the rope. You can get hit by the very thing that is supposed to be the blessing, the very thing that is supposed to be enjoyable, the very thing that is supposed to be fun. You can end up being hit by it because you jumped in at the wrong time. And Saul, the sixth verse says, and Saul said unto Kenites, go depart, get ye down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Now here Saul is saying, I need to separate some things. And I want you to understand something. Here it talked about how if they stayed around the company of the people that were being destroyed by God, that they would be destroyed too. Saul said, I want you to get out of the way, because when I begin to wield this sword, if you stay too close to the people that are getting the sword, you are going to end up getting the sword too. So what is God saying here? You have to separate yourself. The Bible says this: come out from amongst them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto me. He talked about it in Psalms. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He shall bring forth his fruit in his season. And it goes on and it goes on. But watch this. The important key verse of that was that he had to be separated. He said, do not walk in the way of the sinners. See, God is moving you, but you want to take everybody with you. God is causing you to shift, but you want to take everybody with you. But there are times in your life where you have to go alone. I remember I grew up in a Baptist church, and this woman, Evangelist Broomfield, will always sing this song: I'll go if I have to go by myself. I'll pray if I have to pray by myself. And I want you to understand that there are times in your life where there will be no understanding from a person. Nobody will understand the move of God in your life. But you have to understand that it was indeed the voice of the Word of God that spoke to you. You have to understand the voice of the Word of God. You have to understand that it was indeed God. And because it was indeed God, I do not need approval. Oh, my God, who am I talking to? Now, watch this. The seventh verse says this. And so they departed. Now, the seventh verse says, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Hevelah until thou camest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Now, he did something already that he shouldn't have done. He kept something alive that God wanted to be terminated. And oftentimes we find ourselves doing that. We find ourselves saving relationships that God is trying to terminate. We find ourselves keeping things together that God is trying to close. We open the doors that God is trying to close. It's almost like somebody's trying to close the door. God's trying to close the door and you stick your foot in it. God is saying, I'm showing you what I want you to do. I'm showing you. The Bible says this about Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Which means what? The things he suffered was an indication of what God was trying to tell him to do. That's what it was. Because Christ had to go to the cross for our sins, the devil wanted to make sure that he went to the cross, that he died early. He wanted to make sure that the prophecy was not fulfilled the way it needed to be fulfilled. See, God gives strict and precise instructions, and he means for them to be followed that way. And obedience, the word obedience don't just mean for you to listen, but the word obedience means to hearken. It means to pay attentive attention. So when you pay attentive attention, you remember what was said in detail. See, that's the problem. We have to understand. We have to make sure that we get detail about the move of God, about what he wants us to do. Because one thing can be off, and it can cause the whole thing to fall. Just that one thing. Now watch this. The ninth verse says, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, of the fatling and of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, they destroyed utterly. So now he thought that he could be the judgment on this thing. Huh? How many times have God told us to do something, but we decided to make adjustments to what God told us to do?
How many times have God told us specifically to do a thing, and we want to erase things, and we want to add things? Even in the scripture, he said to not add one jot, one tittle to the word of God. Anything that he has told us to do, we are not to add to it, but we are to do it precisely how he told us to do it. And oftentimes, we think we know better than God. How crazy that is, but we do. We think that, oh, God, but if I do this, this is going to hurt such and such feelings. See, God is not concerned about feelings. I've never heard one scripture that talked about him delivering your feelings or covering or protecting your feelings. He told you to guard your heart with all diligence. But he ain't say nothing about your feelings, because your feelings are determined by what you see, touch, feel. And when the word of God comes, the Bible says this about the word of God. The Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting to the dividing of the soul and the spirit. Why does it need to divide the soul and the spirit? Because he needs to separate what God said to you from what you feel. Oh, my God. He needs to separate what God said to you from what you feel. What you feel has no business being married to what God said to you. You have to obey strictly what it is that God said to you. And so here he is, he took the fatlings and he took the calves and he took everything that he thought should live. Oh, my God. There are things that we feel should live, and God said, I'm trying to kill it. But it's things that we feel like that should live. Now watch this. The 10th verse says this. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king. This perplexed me. This perplexed me. I said, wait a minute. This sounds like God just made a mistake. This sounds like God just made a mistake. But the awesome thing about God, remember back in Genesis where he made man, and man was perfect. Man didn't even have flesh. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that one of the punishments for their sin was that they were wrapped with a flesh coat. So man was a spirit. But what man did have was the ability to make a decision whether he will obey God or not. So even with the instruction of God, he never makes you obey it. Even with the instruction of God, he gives you the ability to figure out whether you will obey it or not. The Bible says, choose ye. He said, I've set before you life and death. Am I in the scripture? I've set before you life and death, but I will that you would choose life. So he gave you an inclination of what you should choose, but he did not tell you what you had to choose. And so we have an issue sometimes when God causes us to put on our big boy pants or our big girl skirt, huh? When he doesn't always speak to us like we want him to speak to us. When he says, well, you know what I told you, and I'm not going to give you much more detail, but you know what I told you. We have an issue when he speaks like that, because God speaks in many ways. Sometimes he speaks very precisely and very clearly, but sometimes God will just say, no, yes. Or wait. Those are the three ways that God speaks. No, yes, or wait. Watch this. The 11th verse said, and it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. So he cried unto the Lord all night. He cried out. Here he is with his emotions, and he's saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm crying out to you. The 12th verse says this, and when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. 13th verse says, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. So now he thinks that he has obeyed God. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? We make interjections, we make deviations to God's plan, and think we've obeyed him. And think we've obeyed him. How many times have he told you to leave your kindred land? Leave the place of your comfortability. Leave that place. How many times have he told you to do that, but you didn't obey? What's this? And Samuel said, what meaneth this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? So now watch this. I find this interesting. God told him to do something, and he didn't do it. And because of that, the sheep are in pain. They are being attacked. God said, basically, if you don't do it, I will do it myself. My God. I will come into that sheepfold and kill everything that you call yourself saving. So these sheep, I looked it up, and the sheep were bleeding because they were in some sort of pain or distress. So something was happening to these sheep. Even though he didn't kill them, the word of God was spoken, and the word of God has to come to pass. Ain't that something? The word of God by the prophet said that Jesus wouldn't have a broken bone on his body. And no matter what they did to him, no matter what they did to him, he did not have a broken bone on his body. Because the word of God stands like that. The 15th verse says, and Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the beast of the sheep, and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. So now he going to take what he took in disobedience to God, and he think he's going to sacrifice it to God. I know I did wrong, but I'm just going to sacrifice this to God, and it'll be all right. As if God takes sacrifice over obedience. The scripture says what? Obedience is better than sacrifice. So he really thought that God was going to take his sacrifice over his obedience, over his disobedience. Watch this. And the sheep of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Watch this. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. So he said, wait a minute, I just park it for a moment. I need to tell you something. I need to tell you what the Lord has said to me. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Now, a lot of times what happens is that when we think we can make decisions, it's because we've gotten to this spiritual plateau where we think we hear God better than God hear God. Y'all looking at me funny. We really do think that we hear God, and because we hear God, we can make all kind of deviations to God's plan. I heard a preacher one time say this to me, and it blew me away. He said, God told me to come off of my job, but to keep peace in my house with my wife, I'm going to stay on. Wait a minute. You just said God said, right? You mean the voice of the word of God. God spoke to you. Not Creflo Dollar, not T.D. Jakes. God spoke to you. And then you say that to keep peace in your house, you're going to disobey God. See, God know God want peace in my house. Wait a minute. Wait, when did God ever say he want peace? My God. The Bible says when man think of peace, God says sudden destruction. The Bible says that God will come and set a mother against his her daughter and a father against... Oh, y'all not hearing what I'm saying? So in order to obey God, sometimes you will have to go against some people that you love. Sometimes people won't agree with you. Now watch this. 18th verse, he says, the Lord sent me... Wait a minute. Yeah, he said, when thou was small in thy own sight. So sometimes we get big in our own sight. And when that happens, we begin to disobey God because we think we're smart. Now watch this. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Did it evil. Now watch this, 20th verse says, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and obeyed, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the kings of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. So he still think that he's obeyed God. Ain't that something, how delusional we can be? Obedience. when you obey something, you don't make deviations to it. If you went to a restaurant and you said, I want onions on my sandwich, and or you say you don't want them, and they put a whole pile of them on your sandwich, you'll be like, I'm giving this back to you, and I want you to do this again. Because you didn't do exactly what I told you to do. But I put the cheese on it, but you put something on it that I don't want. Watch this. And have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? I'm going to say that again. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? He said, do you really think that God has a greater delight in your sacrifice, in the fact that you sing in the worship team, in the fact that you pray in 12 different tongues, in the fact that you're the best usher that they've ever seen, the best deaconess or deacon that they've ever seen? Do you think God takes more pleasure in that than your obedience to what he told you? God, without me, if I leave, if I do this, God, everything else will fall apart. Who told you that? When did you become that important? As in obeying the voice of the Lord. Now watch this. He said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. He said, to hear and to listen is better than the fat of rams, better than the best sacrifice you can make. It's better to hear. The 23rd verse says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and adultery. Now, wait a minute. I had no idea that stubbornness was a sin. People say it all the time. Yeah, he's just a little stubborn. He's just a little stubborn. What does this word stubborn mean? Watch this. It literally means that when God tells you to do something and you hesitate, that's what stubborn is, right? When somebody, you say, come here, and they just sit there for a moment. And you say, can you please come here? And they sit there for a moment, and then they come. Do you know that it is a sin to wait when God told you to do something? What? It is a sin to be stubborn in your movement when God has spoken. I said, wait a minute, God. Forgive me for all of my sins. It is a sin to be operating in fear when God has told you to do something. God tells you to do this, and you're like, oh, I don't know how this going to work out. That's a slap in his face. He's like, are you serious? The last time I checked, I control the heavens and the earth. The last time I checked, I slung the sun in the sky, and it still remains. The last time I checked, I was the God of heaven and earth. The last time I checked, you act as if I can't provide for that which I spoke. Now watch this. He said, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Ain't that something? Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. So he told him, because you rejected the word of the Lord. Now most people would say, this is why we don't need to compare ourselves to people, we need to compare ourselves to the word of God. Because the word of God here says that he was rejected. Because he rejected the word of God. Now, most people would say, wait a minute, he did most of it. No, but he made a deviation to the plan. And because of that, oh, my God, the littlest detail. I don't know how many times God has told me to move and do something. Watch this. I was living in Virginia at one point. And God told me, I was living in Wisconsin. I mean, God told me to move. Let's go back. I was in Virginia when he told me to move back to Milwaukee, and I was tripping out. I was like, God, I don't want to go back there. I really don't. I didn't want to be around a lot of family. I didn't want to go back. And do you know, every time, I mean, stuff just started happening. I ended up in four shelters. I'm talking about in a shelter, and I'm making $18 an hour. My wife making over $4,000 a month, and we in a shelter. House flooded. One house was bed bug infested. I'm like, what is going on? One time the house had a leak underneath the house. Our water bill went up to $9,000. What? God said, I told you to move. Now I will help you. Some people learn obedience by the things they suffer. My God, just obey. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed and the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. Oh, his worship was affected. See, when you disobey God, it affects your worship. It affects your relationship with God. God desires for all of us to continue in relationship with him. But the quickest way to cut yourself off is to disobey God. I promise you, when I was not obeying God, he would not speak to me. I was like, God, what is this? It seemed like anytime he would use me to minister the word, that's it. But he would not speak to me on any personal level at all. I was like, God, what's going on? And he reminded me one time of the GPS that was in my car, and he gave me an analogy. He said, because I noticed something. When you put an address into the GPS, the GPS will begin to give you direction. It will say, in 400 feet, turn right. In 12 miles, turn left, exit 34. But if you don't do what the GPS says, it will say recalculating. And then if you don't obey again, it will say recalculating. And if you do it again, it will just give you a map, because obviously you know where you're going. Obviously you know better than I do. And so some of us are in a situation where we just have a map. We don't know what to do. We don't have any details. We don't know how long we are to be on this road. We don't know, because we just got a map. But God has come to make some things clear. He's come to make some things clear. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Amen. Now at this point, I'm going to pray quickly for them that desire to give their life to the Lord. I'm going to extend the offer of salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. And I just ask that you would repeat after me. Say, Father, forgive me, for I recognize that I'm a sinner. I've been disobedient. I have not hearkened. I have not obeyed. But, Father, I pray that you would forgive me, because you said if I confess my sins, that you are just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So, Father, I pray now that I am forgiving. And I confess this day that you are my Lord and Savior, because once I believe you, I have come into relationship with you. Now show me the way. Take me to higher heights and deeper depths in you. In your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may open up the lines. Woman of God, are you here? You may open up the lines. Is there anyone on the phone lines?
Amen. Amen. The lines are now open.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Is there anyone on the line that have a comment or prayer request? Amen. The lines are now open. You can come forth if you have a comment or anything you want to say, a prayer request.
Amen.
Amen. Evangelist Hannah, are you still with us?
Praise the Lord, Prophet. Yes, I am. Hello?
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you, Apostle.
Amen. Is there any comments, anything? The word of God just went forth. And I do know that as you were going forth, all I was thinking was, I'm going to play this, download this to a CD so I can listen to it again. It was so profound, so meaty. As of each and every time you have came on the line, you have truly brought forth a now word.
Amen.
A rhema word from God himself, and that's what we look for, so that as God speaks through you, and as he's speaking, you know, it's just so awesome that we have to know when to move, when God tells us to move, and when to be still, and when to go, and when to come, and to everything there's a season.
Amen.
And, you know, we don't want to just have the roadmap.
That's right.
We want to move when God tells us to move.
That's right. We want
to, you know, just be obedient to the voice and hearken to the voice of the Lord. So I'm just always encouraged when you come forth, man of God. We don't take it lightly. And I know as those that are on the line, you know, a lot of times people don't come forth, but we listen to the broadcast and archives, and there's a whole lot of listeners that's listening to the teaching. So we just pray that you're being blessed as you eat at the table. I know Prophetess Marcella is on the line, and I know that she was blessed with the word of God. I'm just going to ask you, our woman of God, are you still with us?
Yes, I am in the middle of eating.
So you're eating two ways, huh?
I just say something every time I'm eating. I don't understand this. But, yes, I was very much blessed and highly favored in the word of God. It was a pleasure of listening and also eating at the master table. And I just thank the Lord for you. This is my first time, I believe, listening to you. But I do thank the Lord for you that you were a vessel of obedience and allow the Lord to use you as his mouthpiece, not the man mouthpiece, but God's mouthpiece. And right there, it speaks a lot about your character, which I know that you do walk in the spirit, hallelujah, and you do try to emphasize the character of Christ living in you and outwardly. So when people see you, they don't just see a man, a nice-looking man. I don't know how you look, but a nice-looking man, they see the Christ that's in you when you speak. You want them to hear the voice of God. You want to hear his spirit in you dwelling in their ear gate. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, into the heart where those things can be broken off of them. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. So I'm just going to make this short because I don't want my food to get cold. But I truly enjoyed it. God bless you, man of God.
God bless you.
Amen. Is there any other comments? Thank you, Prophetess Marcella. Amen. Evangelist Hannah, I don't know if you occupied. I know you said you probably would be. But again, Pastor Apostle Martin, we are truly delighted to have you on the air with us, and those that come on the line, I know that they're being blessed because we, as I said earlier, we do look at recordings, how the listeners are coming in constantly listening to the broadcast and archives, and even, you know, we just certainly been blessed with you, your presence and your anointing, and how God used you. So we just want to graciously thank you for coming on and being obedient to the assignment.
Amen. God bless you. Appreciate it.
Amen. Well, again.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Is there a comment on the line?
Hello? Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Good evening. Good evening. This is Sister Tammy from Gary, Indiana. Apostle Martin, I just want to thank you for coming on. I caught like the end part of the message tonight, but I did hear when you were sharing about what you and your wife were going through with your home. And right now I'm going through a situation, my family is going through a situation with our home and moving things around, getting things stabilized, and God is doing a new thing, and the adjustment that has to be made. Man of God, if God brought you through it and he had you to adjust to his calling, through everything that you went through, it gave me inspiration tonight to be still, keep listening to the voice of the Lord, and obey. And I just
Absolutely.
Thank you for the message tonight. I thank Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters International Ministries for allowing you to come on the broadcast as you do. And God bless you all.
God bless you.
Well, amen. If there's any other comments, we're going to ask you, Apostle, if you would have the last comment for tonight. And again,
amen.
Those that, let me just make one brief announcement. Those that, if you don't have a Bible and you would like to have a Bible, you accepted Christ tonight, we want to offer you a Bible. We want to send you a Bible, a hardback or a MP3 audio version of the Bible if you don't have one. So you can go to our website, www.kingdombuildersplaza.org, and shout out, give us a shout, and we'll be more than happy to send you a Bible. We want you to have a Bible so that you can search the Word and you can follow along. If you don't have a church home, you know, give us a send us an email at kingdomdaughters1@yahoo.com, and we'll reach out to you. And we'll pray with you. We'll get in the faith fight with you so that you can be directed to where God wants you to be. These lines are orchestrated to build you up in the Lord, to bring you closer to God so that you can understand that God has chosen you for such a time as this. So we want to encourage you in the Lord. So we pray that if you did accept God, that you would go on our website, let us know you did, so we can send you out a Bible, so that we can be a blessing to you in other ways. So, again, God bless you. And we're going to yield the lines to you, Apostle, so you can have a closing remarks.
Amen. Amen. I just thank God for the broadcast and all the listeners. And I just speak a word of blessing over your lives, and that the word was received, and that it was eaten, it was hearkened in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I pray, God, that everybody was blessed abundantly in the name of Jesus. And always remember, obey God rather than sacrifice. God bless you. Good night.
Amen. Well, again, we're going to close the lines out. We want to remind everyone that we will be having our Prophetic Intercessor Conference April 25th, 26th, and 27th in the Detroit, Michigan area. You can go to our website and get all the particulars. If you're interested in coming, we invite you to come. Get excited, because God has released an open heavens over his people, and we're going to be blessed at this conference. So we want to encourage you to just go to our website, check it out. And if you can, join in with us. It's going to be a blessed time in the Lord. And in closing, remember, God love you, we love you, and we want to share that love. So join in with us with our nightly broadcast with Kingdom Builders International, 661-449-9911. And you can go into archives and listen to any other broadcast. We're going to close out by saying that you are blessed of the Lord. Stay in his presence. Listen for his voice. And follow what God directs you to do. In the name of Jesus, we just say amen and be blessed this evening. God bless you all.